For our gospel reading today, we look to the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. We don't often do this when we read the gospel, but today I think it's important that maybe we stand for the reading of the gospel. I invite you, if you're able, to stand as you hear the message of resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for this glorious day and for all the wonderful moments we have to share with those whom we love, with friend and stranger alike, in this place of worship. We ask, Lord, that not only would this room be full of people, but more importantly, that this room and our hearts be full of your glory. We pray in these moments that you would stir in us a deeper desire to trust in and to follow the risen Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your love for you and for our neighbor and enable us to live as followers of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, this is indeed an exciting day. Easter is always an exciting time for the church and the community to gather for musicals and for Easter egg hunts and especially for worship. And just as I've been excited to celebrate my first Easter among you as one of your pastors, I'm also almost excited to start a new sermon series next week. Yes, that's a shameless plug. That's what that is. Next Sunday, we start a sermon series called Paradigm Shift. We're going to look at stories of grace from our Lord. Jesus talked about so many things, the kingdom of heaven. But he always talked about and showed grace. And so many of his parables were stories of grace, stories of unmerited love that God offers to us. And I hope that even as you're here today, that you might find your way back to this place during the month of April, and hear a story of grace, and know, not only in your head, but also in your heart, that you are loved by the King of the universe. Today is a special day. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter. It's a time for us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The tomb is empty, and Christ has risen, as he said. He is alive. Today is also April Fool's Day. Did you know that the last time that Easter Sunday fell on April the 1st was 1956? No fooling. No fooling. I wasn't around then. But I hope to be around the next time that it happens, which is in 11 years, the year 2029. You know, it only seems fitting that we celebrate the power of Christ's victory over sin and death on the same day that we often play pranks on one another. Think about the irony of this. Satan thought he had won. Jesus was crucified. He was buried. The followers of Jesus were hopeless and despondent, but God had a surprise. And that surprise came on that early Easter morning, that resurrection day when the tomb was empty. I love that message, and I love to celebrate Easter. I also like to celebrate April Fool's Day. I've been known over the years to celebrate a prank or two and have a prank or two played out on me. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was right out of college, I worked in a university setting, and I had a coworker who on April Fool's would play a prank on me occasionally. I didn't like that coworker so much. I'm joking. He was a good friend. His name was Tom. And one April Fool's Day, I walked in and found that my entire office had been cleaned out. All the furniture, my computer, the files, just an empty desk, and balloons from floor to ceiling. I thought to myself, he don't know me very well, do he? But I let it pass. Jesus said to turn the other cheek, so I did. The next April 1st, Tom played another prank. There was a letter from the college president on official letterhead. He almost got me on this one. Stating that I was being placed in charge of a brand new student organization. I didn't buy it. But the challenge was accepted. So I waited another year. April Fool's Day came again, and Tom had been on vacation close to that time. When he got back, there was a new student file waiting for him, a student who had taken an admissions test and everything. The student's name was Peter J. Moss, and Pete Moss was a landscape architecture student. There was a phone number for Tom to call this new student. It happened to be the phone number of a local gardening center in town. And I listened from the other office as Tom argued with the person on the other end of the line. I'm here from the university to talk to Pete Moss. Is there Pete Moss there? I can only imagine the person on the other end of the line saying, sir, I think someone's playing a prank. No, he said, I have a file and everything. Pete Moss, I need Pete Moss. And then it grew silent as I heard him scream, David! Today, we proclaim a message that is foolish to the world. The message that Christ is risen, and Christ is risen indeed. No fooling. You see, the Easter story is about life. It's about my life, and it's about your life, and most especially, it's about the giver of life. It was God, after all, who made us. He is the giver and preserver of all life. It was God, as Psalm 139 says, knitted us together in our mother's womb. It was God, as Deuteronomy 30 says, that has set before us life and death, blessings and curses, and who invites us to choose life that we might live. It was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have, say it with me, everlasting life. Easter is a story about life. It's God's story. God's story told through his Son, because God has revealed himself through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, get to know Jesus. Look at his life. Understand his death and why he died. And be captivated by the mystery of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul reminds us in the first chapter of Colossians, verse 15, that the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Essentially, what we're learning is that when we look at Jesus, we are looking at God. No fooling. Jesus himself said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And all that is to say that Jesus was no ordinary person. He's fully human, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And also fully divine. The Son of God, God in the flesh, the one who dwelt among us. Easter is about an encounter with the life-giving God. That wonderful passage from Mark's gospel tells us gives us a glimpse of what the early disciples experienced, those women who went to the tomb that first day of the week. I love that Easter happens on the first day of the week. It's as if God is trying to tell us something, that just as God created in the beginning, God was recreating on that first day of the week through His Son and through the resurrection. Mark gives us a few details. He says that it was still early in the morning. You see, Jesus had died late on Friday afternoon. The Sabbath was to begin at sundown on Friday, and no one could do anything on Saturday, and so Jesus was buried without a proper burial. So the women went looking for the dead that morning, carrying spices with a heart that wanted to honor their Lord. They went looking for the dead, but they found life. They had an encounter with the life-giving God. I don't know how long it took us to read that section in Mark, especially verses 6 to 8. Maybe it took us, 30 seconds? Just 30 seconds. Just a brief encounter where they learn from the angel that stood there that Jesus was not there, that Jesus had risen as He said. Do you know what my experience is, and probably yours as well, that most encounters that we have with God are brief and unplanned? There's no way that those women could have said to themselves, when we get there, the stone's going to be gone, the body's going to be gone, and there'll be an angel telling us that Jesus is risen. There's no way they could have planned that. No way they could have expected it. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we tend to think that the heroes of the faith saw God on a regular basis. I'm here to tell you that when we read about encountering God in the Bible, what we're really seeing is the highlight reel. We're seeing the highlights of these individuals' lives as they had these momentary encounters with God. And that momentary encounter with God changed the rest of their life. My experience and my observation is that most encounters with God are brief and unplanned. They're sacred moments. They're God moments. They're things that just don't happen every day. Yes, we can pray every day, and yes, we can search the Scriptures every day, and yes, we can love our neighbors as ourselves every day, but these are ways in which we seek God. But what I'm talking about is an experience when you discover that God is seeking you. Moments when God not only shows up, but God shows off. Moments that are brief and unplanned, that God is there, and you know it. You know it. I guess what I've come by to tell you today and encourage you to do is when you have those moments, don't doubt them. Don't question them. Just appreciate them for what they are. And they will catch you by surprise. It may be in a church setting, but more often than not, it's not. It can be in a hospital room, or in your workplace, or in the quiet moments of your morning before your day starts. It could be in the laughter of a child, or the tears of a parent. You just never know when God's going to show up and surprise you. This is what the women experienced at the tomb that first resurrection morning. The stone was rolled away. That young man dressed in white was sitting on the right side, and he simply said to them, "You've come looking for Jesus. He isn't here. He's risen, just as He said." About 30 seconds, brief and unplanned. If I would have written that story, this choir would have been singing in the background. We'd have heard, hallelujah. The horns would have been playing at that moment. There would have been things coming down from the ceiling of the tomb to celebrate the resurrection, but that's not what Mark tells us happened. What it says in verse 8 is simply this: trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Trembling and bewildered. You know what that literally means? They were afraid and they were confused. Have you ever met somebody famous that you didn't intend to meet? Just by chance, whether it's in an elevator or at a restaurant or in another place, you ever run into somebody that's famous? And for that brief 15-second encounter, you're like, did I really meet them? One year, our family was vacationing in North Carolina. This was probably nearly 30 years ago. And I said to my family, I said, you know, I've always wanted to visit the Duke University. And so at Duke University, and I said, I've always wanted to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium where Duke plays basketball. I mean, it's Final Four weekend. We got to talk about basketball at some point, right? And so we kind of snuck into Cameron Indoor Stadium where they play basketball, and there was some kind of clinic going on. We saw high schoolers and young men in basketball uniforms, and we kind of peeked into the gymnasium. And all of a sudden, Coach K walked out. Coach Krzyzewski, the coach of Duke. And we said, hi, Coach K. And then security came and escorted us out. It was something I want to talk about. But for that five-second moment, we even snapped a quick picture. I'm surprised security didn't come. But I met in that brief moment one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history. Now that pales in comparison to what these women experienced on that first Easter morning on Resurrection Sunday. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Just two brief things I want to say about this. The first is this: you don't have to fully understand to believe. These ladies were bewildered. You don't have to fully understand to believe. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I need to devote more time and really search the scriptures as to what this actually says. I need to spend years in study before I'm willing to believe anything like this. Let me tell you something. I've been studying the Bible for nearly 50 years. I don't understand everything. You don't have to fully understand to believe. You see, at the end of the day, God's not going to look at us and say, do you fully understand? I'm going to give you a 10-question quiz. You better get them all right. No, what God is looking for is faith. For people like you and me who don't fully understand but are still willing to believe. I don't understand everything about how a car works, but I drove one this morning. I don't fully understand everything that goes in the ingredients of the dessert my wife made for our luncheon today, but I plan to eat it. You don't have to fully understand to believe or to participate in what God has for your life. The second thing I would say is simply this: you don't have to be without fear to follow. These women trembled and were bewildered. They were afraid. Who would believe them? Sometimes we live our lives and we find that doubt creeps in. In fact, that happens quite more often than you think, doesn't it? Let me just tell you, don't be afraid to doubt. But don't let your doubt overcome your faith. Our lives could be 99% doubt and 1% faith. But if we're willing to lean on that faith, that's what God is looking for. You don't have to be without fear to follow. Friends, ultimately this day is about hope. That's what the Easter message is about. It's about hope. It's as if God is looking in our lives And he says to us, you don't have to let things stay the way they are. The things don't have to be the way they are. We look at all the problems in our world and in our communities, and the message of Easter that we proclaim is simply this: things don't have to be this way. There's a God who loves us. There's a God who forgives us. And there's a God who raised his Son from the dead that we might have life. You see, in God's kingdom, things don't stay dead. Dare I say, in God's kingdom, people don't stay dead. That's what resurrection is about. It's the love and the power of God that offers us new life and new hope. Theologian Frederick Buechner said it this way, that the resurrection of Jesus means that the worst things in life are never the last things in life. It's that cosmic April Fool's joke that God plays. Just when you think all hope is lost, just when you think that God has given up on you, God shows up. God shows off. One of my friends named Jeff is a pastor. His dad also was a pastor. Jeff tells the story that on every Easter morning when his dad was serving a church and he was serving a church, his dad would call him just moments before the services began to say, Jeff, I just called to remind you that it's all true. It's all true. The empty tomb, the stone that was rolled away, the women that were trembling and bewildered with fear and also with great joy. It's all true. Those moments that we read about in Scripture that the risen Christ appeared to his disciples, those moments that we encounter God in brief and unplanned ways, it's all true. It's all true. See, there's hope for us. There's good news for us. There is the promise that God loves us and is for us, not against us, that he's forgiven us, and that he's offered us new life. No fooling. God, we pray today that the faith in us would be stronger than the doubt in us. That the courage in us would be stronger than the fear in us. And we pray today, whether it's on this day or another day, that each one of us would have one of those brief and unplanned encounters with the risen Christ. And when it happens, may we never doubt it, but rather may we allow it to transform us, strengthen us for the journey ahead, fill us with your love, fill us with your hope, and fill us with the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And when you do these things for us, we will be careful to give you all the glory and praise. In the name of and for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. And everybody said, Amen.